Well, good morning, church family. Trust me when I say that no one is more surprised than me to see me up here this morning, okay? When Jason asked me to do this, he says, "Oh, you're retired now. You've got time." Well, then would come Thursday evening. And Jason gets a phone call, and his cousin, Travis, his name is Travis, his wife of 39 years old passed away on Wednesday. And he was called to not only represent the family, but to, I believe, preach at the funeral. So he's on his way back from Washington State this morning, or maybe it's tomorrow. I'm not sure which. So pray with me this morning as I take a message that I was supposed to preach next Sunday and crammed it into about 2 days of preparation here to do this. So let's pray and ask God's mercy. So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that it is eternal from age to age, that we can come to you. And when we proclaim your word, you are glorified. Father, now I pray that you would glorify yourself through me as I share your word and what you've done in my life. I pray your blessing upon Jason as he continues to minister to Travis and his family, and bring our pastor home safe. Thank you that we can look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There is an outline, okay, in case you didn't get it. Sorry, I know how Jason feels now in the morning, Sunday morning, racing to get here, you know, and everything, you know, looking for the cops, going, "Oh, I hope there's not one out here." There is an outline in the back there if you'd like to follow along with what I'm going to talk about this morning. We are going to be continuing our series in Ephesians. So if you want to turn to there. When Jason asked me to preach last week, or Thursday, he asked me to address Ephesians 1 through 4 from the perspective of being a grandparent and a multi-generational vision. Particularly, you know, as a grandparent, what that all means. Sharon and I will celebrate 43 years of marriage on Thursday. So I am mightily blessed. We just came back from Albuquerque last week for the birth of our 11th grandchild. Number 12 is due in May. I have pictures if you would like to see them, okay? So, you know, they're in my phone there. So I have pictures, okay? But I won't do that to you. Sharon and I raised four girls. We never did quite figure out how to do that boy thing. But Grandpa's getting his boys now, because with number 12 in May, that will make 7 boys and 5 girls. While Sharon and I rejoice in God's blessings on our lives, it is not lost on us that some of you have grandchildren that you have not been able to hold yet because of miscarriage. We understand and empathize and sympathize with you and know that pain. When I say the words grandpa, grandma, Gramps, Opa, Oma, Nana, what comes to mind to you? Say that again. Bathrobes, yes. I didn't put that one in my list. How about old? Fun? No teeth? No hair? Wise? Distant? As in lives far away? Or distant that they're not very hospitable, maybe even recluse? Sharon tells the story one time when she went, her and her parents, when she was a little girl, went to go see Sharon's grandfather, and they knocked on the door, and he said, "Y'all will have to come back because I'm not ready to receive guests." He was very much a recluse. What about never knew them? Maybe they've passed on before you even got to know them. How about raised me? For whatever reason. Charles Spurgeon was raised by his grandparents for about 6 years. Right here in our own church family, the Baldessons are raising their grandkids. And we need to pray for them. It's one thing to do it when you're young. It's another thing to do it when you're a grandma and a grandpa. Or maybe, sadly, your grandparents have chosen to not be a part of your family. Maybe they're off spending your inheritance and stop in just a while. How about squishy? My girls loved Sharon's mom. And they would say they loved hugging their squishy grandma. How about crazy? I'm affectionately known with my grandkids that I am the crazy grandpa for two reasons. Number one, because of the way my hair looks in the morning. And number two, because I get down with them and love doing crazy, fun things with them. Yes, there is another side of Mr. Colors that you have not seen. I personally experienced the distant grandparents. My parents moved from a very, very small town in northwestern Nebraska to California when I was about 5 years old. My parents moved there because, sadly, they wanted to get away from their parents. According to them, anyway. We would travel back to Nebraska each summer, and again, according to my parents, if you didn't spend the same number of days at one grandparent as you did the other, there was somebody got upset. But what is God's idea for grandparents? And you might say, well, what has that got to do with me? I'm just a kid. Grandparenting's a long ways off. Well, you have a role to play in this, so stay with me. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And just so you know, I'm reading from New American Standard, so Mr. Colors hasn't gone off the deep end here. It's just the Bible that I was raised with all of my life. So that word discipline in the New American Standard, or nurture in the King James Version in the Greek, is paideia. Now, I'm probably mispronouncing that, and Jason will correct me next Sunday when he preaches on Ephesians 6:4, okay? It included chastening or correction, training by act. The word instruction, New American Standard, or admonition in the New King James, is nothesia. Again, my bad pronunciation. This means training by word of a tender encouragement, or when needed, reproof. And how is nurturing, discipline, admonition, or instruction to be done? Deuteronomy 6:4 through 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and all your soul. These words I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall repeat them diligently to your sons. And speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You will also tie them as a sign onto your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your foreheads. You shall also write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates." We don't have to go around with little boxes tied to our foreheads. But God does want us to write His word on our hearts and on our minds. It is much easier to memorize God's words when you are young. So parents, when you wake up in the morning, sitting at breakfast, doing school, when the squabbles begin, the dirty diapers, nap time, dinner time, bath time, keep on nurturing, discipling, admonishing, and instructing children. And just know, tomorrow morning it's going to start all over again. Jason talked about last week, when you've answered that 500,000th question, and they ask the 500,000th one, and you just want them to be quiet. Stay with it, Mom. Stay with it, Dad. Don't give up. Why do we do this? Why keep at it? Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore the Lord your God. He is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his faithfulness to 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commandments." When Sharon and I are praying at night, we're praying that our family line is not broken, that it goes on and on and on and on. Isaiah 44:3-4 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry land. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings upon your descendants. And they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. Have you ever driven up I-17 or Highway 87 and all of a sudden you see this clump of trees out there? Usually those are poplars. And you know, there's water there. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Grandchildren are the crowns of the old, and the glories of their sons is their fathers." Psalm 112, 1 and 2, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is a person who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Psalm 45, 17, "I will make your name known among all generations. Therefore, the peoples will praise you forever and ever." Proverbs 13:22, "A good person leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren, and the wealth of a sinner is stored up for the righteous." Joel 1:3, "Tell your sons about it, and have your sons tell their sons, and their sons the next generation." Well, what if we don't do this? Young people, kids, do you know why your parents are disciplining you and instructing you? Because they love you. They want you to know the incredible God that we have and that we serve. A God that loves you. Well, you say, "My parents aren't perfect parents." You're right. And neither are you. That is why we need Christ, to change our hearts, to change our lives, to make us become like him. Example here, Jeremiah 2:9. "Therefore, I will still contend with you, declares the Lord, and I will contend with your sons' sons." Joshua is an example of this. In Judges 2:7-12, it says, "People served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at age 110. Whoa. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance, Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers." And here's the key point of this. If we don't teach God's word, "and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel." It talks about Joshua and his generation, how they served the Lord and were mighty in the land. But the next generation failed. Another example of this is Eli and his sons in 1 Samuel 2:12. In this case, the failure went all the way to the priesthood. Verse 12 says, "Now the sons of Eli were worthless men and did not know the Lord." I didn't want my children to be known as worthless, and I do not want my grandchildren to be thought of as worthless. So right now you're thinking, oh, okay, Mr. Fellers, you're just talking to the parents here. You're right, I am. Because grandparents were parents before they became grandparents. This is a pattern that they need to do in raising you all, kids, so that when they get to this lustrous crown of glory up here, or lack of crown of glory, that they will have to be able to teach and speak into your lives. So now a little personal examples that we have done. So you ask me, how have you come alongside your grandchildren? Well, somewhere along the line of our second or third grandchild was born, we began praying and thinking about what special things that we could do for them. We didn't want to be those grandparents that flooded them with toys and stuff. You grandkids might have liked it, but that's not where we were at. And we thought, B, would our grandchildren remember us after the toys and the stuff is all broken and in the trash? So we began a dialogue with our oldest daughters and their husbands about what we could do on certain birthdays with each of them. Then Sharon and I brainstormed about what we could then do. They decided what they were going to do, and then we made the decision, you know, what we were going to do. One of the major considerations for us was that whatever we wanted to do, we wanted it to be duplicatable. Number 12 is coming in May. So that's a lot of years I hope God still gives us. For us, those conversations were pretty easy because our daughters and son-in-laws are of like mind. But what about if you have grandparents that are not of like-mindedness of you? Maybe they're not even saved. In my studying for this, here's some things I suggest to you. First, pray that God would enable you to speak to your parents, your children's grandchildren, your children's grandparents. Two, choose the moment. It's probably not the most opportune time when the child has just opened the gift. Choose your moment. Three, don't expect your parents to understand your reasons, but ask them to respect them. And four, give them a list. Amazon's wish lists are great on there. Sharon and I don't have to go figuring out, okay, what we need to get for this child and that child on there. So for us, we settled on doing something big, special for our grandkids at ages 5, 10, and 15, at least for now. On the fifth birthday, we take them to Peter Piper Pizza. And most of you are going, bad pizza. Yeah, you're right. But there's more to that, okay? We take them there. It's just them. They may have been to Peter Piper Pizza with their family, but this is just about us celebrating them. We eat lunch, and then they get a bunch of tokens, and then afterwards they've done that, they've redeemed all their tokens and stuff. It's ice cream, okay? Now remember, they're 5 years old, okay? All right? Now, of course, on each birthday, we celebrate them. Our family has gotten large enough and busy enough that we have to do quarterly birthdays. And we're celebrating 5, 6, 7 people at those birthdays, quarterly birthdays. For their 10th birthday, we do what we have called a wisdom week in the woods. We take them, just them, camping for a week. Now, some of you right now are saying, I'm not going camping. No, siree. There's bugs out there. Okay? So maybe your idea of camping is a 5-star resort hotel or a motor coach. I get it. It's okay. It's not about the how. It's not about the where, but it's about the content of your time together. Our Wisdom Week is an in-depth study of the first 6 chapters of Proverbs. We cover one proverb each day. When the proverb says, my son, I personalize that when I'm sitting there with my grandson and say, my grandson. Or in this case of this year's Wisdom Week in the Woods with our oldest granddaughter, I will personalize that to say, my granddaughter. On that first day, we also give that grandchild a journal. We have them write in it each day about the proverb that we covered, the things that they may have seen, or what we did that day. And each day we do a different activity. We also memorize scripture. The scriptures that I have used come from a book titled A Modern Day Night by, Ken Black. In there is attitudes such as integrity, self-discipline, perseverance, purity, honesty, excellence, loyalty, servant leadership, kindness, humility. We give them that list so they can take it home and continue to learn about those attitudes with their parents. Here's my list. As you can see, it's all folded, notes all over it and everything on there. That's my list. It's one of my bookmarks in my Bible. I mentioned that we do a different activity every day. These include such things as archery, shooting, fishing from our canoe, learning to clean the fish that you just caught. And some of you are going, ooh, no. Fire building, hiking. All during the time while we're doing these activities, we are telling them stories. You see, our grandkids, we take them to the place where we took our daughters, their moms, their aunties, all during the time that they were growing up. Sharon and I could not afford to do a lot of vacation, so we went camping. One other thing we do, we also give them a copy of one of the books of the Knights of Erith Tray by Chuck Black. And listen to the audiobook in the evening. We bring their favorite foods. We do things like a tinfoil dinner. It's good. Try it sometime. S'mores. And of course, the inevitable, you must have gummy worms. After that Wisdom Week in the Woods, we give them a keepsake book that we have done from all the photos over that. And I actually have, hold these up for you. These are their keepsakes. We cover all the scriptures that we've covered, the attitudes and everything, and the entire week is recorded for them. These are our copies. We give them each a copy, and then a copy to their parents. Following that, we do a follow-up called a Wisdom Weekend, where we do a lot of the same activities as much as we can, archery and shooting and stuff. And anybody that's attended one of our Wisdom Weeks in the Woods gets to come and be a part of that. Again, all during this time, we're asking him, where's your walk with the Lord? Where are you growing? What can Grandma and Grandpa be praying about? This past, we've got two of these now, the third one's coming up. This past one, I had a but again, we share stories. We encourage them in the walk with the Lord. We then, we reward them monetarily for how many times they have read through the book of Proverbs since their Wisdom Week in the Woods. Now, some of you may disagree with that, and that's okay. That is just something that we have chosen to do. We also give them other scriptures assigned out of Wisdom Weekend to then take and memorize for the year. And we reward them for that. Now, for their 15th birthday, well, we're still working on that one. We're going to have to hurry up and figure out something because our oldest grandchild just turned 13. So we've got the little, we're going to have to work on that one. So why do Sharon and I do this? Turn with me to Psalm 78. Listen, O my people, to my instructions. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born. Ever since we found out that Danielle and Peter were pregnant, and with all of our grandchildren, we have been praying for them since that point in time. That they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God. God wants us to speak of his marvelous works to our children and to our grandchildren. We want them to put their confidence in God, and not this world. So if I can help our grandchildren to obey their parents, as is mentioned in Ephesians 6:1, to be an example to them, Lord, help me do this. Lord, help us as a church family to do that to each other. That psalm goes on to say in verses 9 through 11, the sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned their back in the day of the battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his ways. Young people, kids, the heart of your parents is that you come to know Christ. It is this grandpa's heart that my grandchildren come to know Christ. And that you all, as my church family, come to know Christ. Turn back with me to Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. All this time, while we have been speaking into our children, grandchildren's lives, we were and still are learning what verses 2 and 3 meant for us with our parents in old age. Sharon's dad, which some of you may have met, was a Paul-type self-supporting missionary throughout his entire life. Wherever his job took him, he and Mom Dietz, Joanne, were involved in ministry. Things like a project they did called Sun Project. Coffee houses in Germany. Teaching in Puerto Rico and the Bahamas. After he retired, he traveled all across the United States doing multimedia productions for Campus Crusade for Christ. And then he felt a call to go to China. And God opened the door for this. You have to understand that Sharon's dad was in his 70s at this point in time. They went disguised. They went as missionaries, disguised as English teachers. Their curriculum was the Bible. And soon they were discipling, I don't know how many Chinese students. I can remember the pictures. Some of those would come to Christ, including the owner of the school that they were teaching at. Just a side note. I'll come back to that. Sorry. A couple of years would pass with Dad's mom, Sharon's mom, went to be with the Lord, actually in Yangshua, China, in 2010. And then a couple of years would pass, and Chris married a Chinese national woman. Liang Feng, her English name was Grace. Sharon and I were privileged to attend that wedding. While Dad and Grace were in China, communication between the two of them was pretty easy because there was always somebody at the school that wanted to take and translate and practice their English. You see, Chris didn't speak Chinese and Grace didn't speak English. Don't recommend that for a marriage, okay? When they moved to the United States, East and West cultures would collide. We would also find out, sadly, later on, that Grace had very substantial debts. It was not long after Dad and Grace moved to the United States that Grace was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. That brought Grace's daughter, Sharon's stepsister, to the United States. That left us with 3 twin beds down in our lower level family room. Chinese and Western medicine would also become a part of our world. Luang Yang would perform Chinese medicine on her mom, besides her getting the chemotherapy. However, the stench from this treatment was so bad that we had to erect a tent, not unlike this, with walls around it and stuff, in our backyard so that they could do the treatments. Sharon's dad was then diagnosed with Parkinson's disease during this time, and his health would take a long, slow decline. Grace went through chemotherapy, which meant Sharon took Grace and Lu Yang to all of these appointments, and the appointments always took so much longer because of the language barriers. They had to get a translator. After the chemotherapy treatments were completed, Grace was to undergo surgery, but she refused and decided to return back to China. Unfortunately, the treatments that she sought out did not help her, and she returned to the United States, and we immediately put her into the hospital, and the doctors gave her just a couple days to live. The cancer had perforated her intestine, and bodily waste was filling her abdominal cavity. They performed a colostomy, and by God's mercy, that actually gave her almost another year of life. Grace would eventually succumb to the cancer February 13th of 2020. Sharon's dad had become so frail during this time, and Sharon's stepsister continued to badger and harass him, so we had to remove Lu Yang from our home. She went to stay with Sharon's sister during that time, till after the funeral, and then she returned to China with her mom's ashes. We knew that Grace had made a profession of faith, and it became very, very apparent to us, especially in her last days, that there was a sweetness from her towards particularly Sharon and I. Lu Yang had heard the gospel through the Chinese Baptist church that they were attending, and heard the gospel preached at the funeral, but to our knowledge, she never became a believer in Christ. And we pray that she would come to know Christ along with her husband and her son. Dad Dietz would continue to live with us until his homegoing September 13th, 2021. Dad Dietz was not only my father-in-law, he was my mentor, and he was my friend. Sharon and I did our best to to honor her dad and stepmom, as stated in Ephesians 6, 3 through 4. Meanwhile, while we were dealing with Chris and Joanne, we were also dealing with my parents. I'll give you the condensed version based on where we're at as time. My mom was diagnosed with severe dementia. She could remember things. It was amazing. If you were a San Francisco 49er fan, she was the one that you would want to talk to because she could remember every player's stats, what they had done this year, how many touchdowns. It was amazing. Unfortunately, the dementia has progressed so much that it's hard for her to even complete a sentence. For a long, long time, we tried to get my parents to move to this side of town. See, they lived in East Mesa, so it was like a 45-minute drive for us. But my father refused to move and kept telling us, oh, they're fine. Well, more than once, my dad called me and told me that my mom couldn't get up. The last time that that happened, I got there and we called the paramedics. My dad's going, she's not going to go to the hospital. She won't do this. Paramedics' recommendation was that she go to the hospital. I just kneeled in front of my mom and said, Mom, I think you should go get this checked out. And she went. What we would come to find out, the reason that she couldn't get up was she broke her kneecap. Somewhere along the line, she had fallen. She couldn't remember it, and my dad couldn't remember it. That put her in the hospital for 2 weeks and then about 8 weeks into rehab. And prior to that, my dad had been in the hospital 3 times in 3 months. And then while my mom was in the hospital, he was in the hospital 2 more times. Nothing like having Grant, your parents, in 2 separate hospitals. During some of the time that my mom, before that, they had in-home care services that would come in to care for my mom, and my dad would fire them. We don't need you, we're fine. One of those home care services called Adult Protective Services, which is the same as Child Protective Services. Knowing what I knew, with my dad having been in the hospital 5 times in 5 months and my mom in the hospital, my dad was not going to be able to care for my mom, even though he said, oh, I can do it. I had to call Adult Protective Services and get them involved a second time. That was one very difficult decision for me to have to make. That left the only option for my mom, because she was not going to be released to the care of my dad, had to go into assisted living. And I told my dad, if you want to be with mom, you need to do this. Well, he wasn't going to be without mom. They celebrated, before my dad passed, 71 years of marriage. Well, they finally agreed, and we took him there. But oh, was the war on with Sharon and I. The record stands for one day. Sharon got 12 phone calls And I got 12 phone calls saying, this isn't working. You need to come get us. You need to take us home. But yet, my mom flourished under the care of the assisted living. She was getting 3 meals a day instead of just Cheerios that my dad was feeding her. She was getting her meds. She was getting personal hygiene and all of that stuff. We proceeded to have my dad tested for dementia, and what we thought was just the color's stubbornness was actually severe dementia on him. This is why he couldn't remember things. During that time when they were in the assisted living, he would say, here, your mom wants to talk to you. And he would cajole her to say, we need to go home. But when my mom would get on the phone, she couldn't remember what to say because of the dementia. And this would just infuriate my dad. Pattern of verbal abuse was throughout his life. It was nothing for my brother and sister and I when we were kids to wake up 1-2 o'clock in the morning with our parents screaming at each other. There are other things that I will not share, but suffice it to say, I would never, never leave my daughters alone with my father, even if my mom was there. My father would eventually pass away on September 8th, 2021, due to kidney failure. This was just 5 days before Sharon's dad passed away. And even though my dad heard the gospel many, many times around us and coming to church on special occasions and heard the gospel, to my knowledge, when he died, he had not come to Christ. And right now, we pray that God will clear the dementia out of my mom's mind enough so that she can see her need for Christ and come to the gospel. Some of you have walked the same road with us, with elderly parents, and can share in our long suffering. And some of you may be thinking, wow, what faithfulness in honoring your parents. I would tell you, it's only by God's mercy and work in my life, because I was guilty of provoking my children to anger, as it speaks about in Ephesians 6:4. Most of you know my testimony of a back injury, which would lead to 3 surgery and result in a prescription drug addiction for many years. God would use a DUI and a group of men to bring me back from the path of destruction. That is why it is so hard for me to speak on Ephesians 1 through 4. Because I know what a failure I was as a dad for most of my kids' life. Psalm 78 verse 8 describes my life during this time. And do not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. when Jason asked me to share about being a grandparent in a multi-generational vision, I reached out and asked for prayer from my family. I received a lot of encouragement. And one word of encouragement I received from my daughters, I would like to share with you in closing. It comes from Charles Spurgeon regarding Joel 2:25. Joel 2:25 says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten." And I quote Charles Spurgeon. Lost years can never be restored literally. Time once passed is gone forever. Let no man make any mistake about this or trifle with the present moment under any notion that the flying hour will ever wing its way back to you. It will strike you at once that the locust did not eat the years. The locust ate the fruits of the year's labor, the harvest of the fields. So the meaning of the restoration of the years must be the restoration of those fruits and of those harvests which the locust consumed. You cannot have back your time. But there is a strange and wonderful way in which God can give you back all the wasted blessings, the unripened fruits of years over which you mourned. The fruits of wasted years may yet be yours. It is a pity that they should have been eaten by your folly and negligence. But if they have been so, be not hopeless concerning them. All things are possible to him that believes. There is a power which is beyond all things and can work great marvels. Who can make the all-devouring locust restore his prey? No man, by wisdom or power, can recover what has been utterly destroyed. God alone can do for you what seems impossible. And here is the promise of his grace. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. By giving to you, his repentant people, larger harvests than the land could naturally yield, God could give back to them, as it were, all that they had had if the locust had never come. And God will restore your life, which up to now has been blighted and eaten up with locusts and sin, by giving you divine grace in the present and in the future. He can make it complete and blessed and useful to his praise and glory. It is a great wonder. But Jehovah is a God of wonders. And in the kingdom of his grace, miracles are common things. God in his mercy has restored to me the lost harvest and allowed me to speak into the lives of my daughters, my son-in-laws, and my grandchildren. Dads, moms, it is not too late for you. If you have been like me and provoked your children? Turn to Christ and seek His forgiveness. Seek your child's forgiveness if you need to, like I had to. Kids, you adults, have you obeyed mom and dad, as in verse 6:1? More importantly, have you obeyed God? If not, seek His forgiveness. Seek His mercy. Ask God to do a work in your heart. And you know, you don't have to do what Sharon and I are doing with our grandkids. This is what God has laid on our hearts. But I encourage you to be thinking ahead and praying about what God might have you do. If you are blessed with grandchildren one day. And maybe you need to be a grandpa or a grandma to somebody else's kids because their grandparents live far, far away. Kids, I said earlier you had a role in this. Ask your grandparents questions. Ask them about their lives. Ask them about their faith. Ask them if they lived in BCP. What's BCP? Before cell phones. Sharon and I grew up when there was no such thing as a cell phone. You might want to record that conversation. I have with me, in case you're wondering what these are cassette tapes, okay? Some of you might never have seen one of these things. This one is an interview that we did in 1992 with Sharon's mom. And I praise God that we did that because we didn't know. She went to China, the clean bill of health, and passed away suddenly there. Now I get to share this with my grandkids, which would be their great grandma. And then I have one from my grandmother that we did. So that would make them their great-great-grandmother, I think. It's not too late to have what the locusts have eaten. And I call to you, I challenge you. Maybe you've just messed up like I did. But we serve an incredible, mighty God that can change lives. And I can testify to that. Let's pray, and then Brother Mark's going to come and lead us in communion. Father, I thank you for your mercies. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your mercies. I thank you for your love for me. That you would seek me out, that you would call me. I learned all too well about how to be a dad from my dad with his anger. but you changed my heart, you changed my life, and you're continuing to do that. I thank you for your mercies and allowing me to speak into my family's life. And Father, I pray that if there's a dad or a mom here that needs to have the locusts, the harvest restored because of the locusts, that they would seek you out, seek help. Father, thank you for all that you have done in my life. If there's a young person here, a child that has not come to know this incredible, mighty God that we serve, that I serve, I pray today would be your day of salvation. For it's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.